cold to hot.
Yep.
Michael, sorry.
That's all right.
Pearly didn't give me much room, you know.
What's that? Move your head.
Look at that. Light and everything.
All right, guys, over the past couple weeks, God put on my heart a message about fellowship. Title is, I'm standing in the way here. Don't be a remote. Now, you're probably wondering how I came up with that title. Some people know, some people don't. I actually took another term for remote, which is clicker. And as we know, click and click is spelled C-L-I-Q-U-E. I just added a hyphen R to make quicker. But I should be speaking to teenagers about this because mostly teenagers are dealing with it in their high school. But it applies to all ages and all people. Young and old, sick and well, rich and poor, and we can continue on and on until the early morning hours. But before I continue, I wanted to share a little illustration with you guys. In the fall of the year, Linda, a young woman, was traveling alone up the rutted and rugged highway from Alberta to the Yukon. Now, Linda, I know you wouldn't travel all the way to Yukon.
I was never in Alberta.
Linda didn't know how. No, you don't travel to Whitehorse alone in a rundown Honda Civic. So she set off where only four-wheel drives normally venture. The first evening, she found a room in the mountains near a summit and asked for a 5 a.m. wake-up call so she could get an early start. She couldn't understand why the clerk looked surprised at that request, but as she awoke to early morning fog shrouding the mountaintops, she understood. Not wanting to look foolish, she got up and went to breakfast. Two truckers invited Linda to join them, and since the place was so small, she felt obliged. "Where are you headed?" one of the truckers asked. "Whitehorse." "And that little Civic? No way. This pass is dangerous in weather like this." "Well, I'm determined to try," was Linda's gutsy, if not very informed, response. "Then I guess we're just going to have to hug you," the trucker suggested. Linda drew back. "There's no way I'm going to let you touch me." "Not like that," the truckers chuckled. "We'll put one truck in front of you and one in the rear. And that way, we'll get you through the mountains." All that foggy morning, Linda followed the two red dots in front of her and had the reassurance of a big escort behind as they made their way safely through the mountains. Caught in the fog in our dangerous passage through life, we need to be quote-unquote hugged. With fellow Christians who know the way and can lead safely ahead of us, and with others behind gently encouraging us along, we too can pass safely. Now, do any of you realize what most of us do in our daily lives? We tend to talk and hang out with our own clique, our own little group of friends, where we feel most comfortable. Sure, we are to be happy in Christ, but he also calls us out of our comfort zones. Look when he called his disciples. Actually, let's go there tonight. I know we don't have our Bibles with us, but thankfully enough, through the wonders of technology, we have the verses from Luke 5, 1 through 11, and Luke 6, 12 through 16 on PowerPoint. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and talked to people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now Luke 6:12-16. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, who was also known as Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now, to the disciples, it was simple. After Peter, Andrew, James, and John witnessed the miraculous catch of fish, they dropped what they were doing to follow him. Some just left what they were doing to follow him, as we see in Luke 5:27-32. And that says, "After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi," he was also known as Matthew, "sitting at his tax booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Now, for us, it's harder because we have a lot of things that are comfortable that we don't want to let go of. Satellite TV, computer with internet, iPods, and more that we don't want to give up or get rid of. Some things are necessary, yet some things aren't. God wants us to get rid of the unneeded stuff so we are more effective for Him every day. We look for circumstances to hold us back from serving Him. Yet we think to ourselves, we want to be a part, and yet we don't want to give up this lifestyle we're living to do it. All I have to say is that you're like the young ruler, the rich young ruler. Now, let's look at what that says. As I can get to this here. A certain ruler asked him, Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, honor your father and mother," so on and so forth. "All these I have kept since I was a little boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me."
When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, it is truly hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, like it says. If Donald Trump or Bill Gates had to sell everything, I doubt they could because of how much their corporations are worth. Billions upon billions of dollars, if you guys haven't heard. Everything in this world has their special groups that they're a part of, even Christianity. There's something that we call denominations, which is a fancy word for clique. We have to divert away from that line of thinking and unite together with other churches and groups so we aren't viewed as closed-minded individuals. A lot of times we see the denomination segregating the gifts of God to certain ministry people. Now, Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 41 refutes that thinking and shows that Jesus unites all believers and workers for the cause of Christ. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," said Jesus. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward." Now, how many times have we decided, "Oh, this person can't do this because he's not part of he or she isn't part of our denomination"? Well, that's not Jesus's line of thinking. Let me share an example with all of you about fellowshipping and the prominence of cliques in today's society. Even when we have or our children, especially the public high schoolers, we see the abundance of cliques or groups. You see the jocks sitting in one corner of the cafeteria. You see preps sitting in another, mentally handicapped in a certain place. Emos in one section, punk in another. I could continue on and on, but we don't have that much time. Plus, we got church in the morning. Let me tell you guys something. All throughout my education, middle school, high school, even in the little time I was in college, I was, in a way, a social butterfly. Sure, I had my set of friends I would talk to the most. But 9 times out of 10, I would be walking around the cafeteria or around campus chatting it up with everyone and anyone because I saw everyone as a friend and I never would want to see anyone hurt or down. That's why I always talk, because I'm either worried about something or someone at a certain point in time. That is why it's important to fellowship with anyone, young or old, rich or poor. Now, we have a vast variety of people here. We have the young, we have the older.
I'm gonna say the wise.
Or the rich or poor, so on and so forth. You never know what that person may be going through. But your smile, or you just coming over and praying for them, or just hanging out, maybe being a blessing or an encouragement for them. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Because you guys probably know that the end times are near. So, we need to encourage everyone that we know, not only now, but even more as the second coming comes near. Since life and time is too short to waste anymore. Jesus always sat with sinners and those that the Pharisees found to be against their clique, like we saw when Jesus called Matthew. Of course, we know that the Pharisees were out to get dirt on Jesus from the get-go, because Jesus didn't abide by what the Pharisees and Sadducees were teaching. Christ abided by what his Father believed everyone should have, which was love. Jesus loves every one of us, and he wants us to be in fellowship with each other. Now, one thing I have to say is to never give up on God, because he never gives up on you. Christ said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And since we are supposed to be a Christian, which in literal terms means little Christ, we shouldn't forsake fellowshipping with the ones that Jesus would fellowship with. Like those who may be out on the street hurting, homeless, or the ones who've gone through rape or what have you. Because if we were like that, would we want someone to talk to? Now, tonight, we all will have a time of fellowship and hanging out and just chilling. But I prepared this message especially for this bonfire because I believe that the fire is burning inside some of us tonight, and they just want to let it out. And there's always people who question things, and the Lord wants to answer the questions tonight, and all you have to do is listen to his voice. Now, before we close out tonight here in chilly Chapman Lake, I had Mount Cobb written down, but of course, location change. I want to give everyone the opportunity to receive from God some more. Sure, I spoke the word that God gave me, but God needs his time to work in your lives through his voice. And if we can find some worshipful music, let's just focus in on God tonight.